Well, our special guest is here, so you can now look, Dalton.
Oh, I can look? I
yeah,
thought you were waiting until we were going to start recording, but okay.
No, you can look now.
Hey! It's okay, this is amazing. Let's freaking go. Let's go. I should have expected it. What's up, Timothy?
Hey, what's up, Dalton? Not much.
I told you didn't need to come prepared for this exact reason. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. That's our intro.
Oh, that's awesome. That is amazing.
This for everybody who doesn't know, Timothy is like the longest supporter, probably. Him and Ashley are probably the longest supporters on this podcast, and we constantly make fun of Tim because he doesn't like us rambling. So in this episode, we're rambling about whatever we want.
And he's got a front row seat to it.
He's got a front row seat to it.
Is there anything, Timothy, is there anything that you would like to ramble about?
Well, Ethan contacted me. He's like, hey, you want to come? I'm like, hey, what's the topic? He's like, there is no. I'm like, sure. You're going to do that to me. You're going to make me just ramble about nothing and not get straight into it.
There's some things that I have a little bit prepared. I have done due diligence. Dalton likes when I do work, when he doesn't do work.
I love
when
you do
work. I'm doing my end of the work. Timothy, I didn't know that you made YouTube videos like a year ago. This is news to me. And they're good, too.
I've made a few YouTube videos, but it's like the like you found out, it takes a lot of time. And so I kind of backed off from that to focus only on the reselling part of it.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm sure that Dalton will as well. And if you guys don't follow his YouTube, and or probably you're more active on Instagram, probably would be my guess, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so go watch them. They're very good. I enjoyed them. They were shorter videos, so they weren't really long videos. They were, what, like 3 to 5 minutes per video?
And it seems like you did a few episodes of the reseller story time. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I did a few of those, and then I kind of backed off because I jumped over to TikTok a little bit and have done a little bit over TikTok. So I was kind of bouncing back and forth trying to figure out where the right platform is. So, yeah, so if you want to subscribe, go find me, Timothy Hales. Increase my subscriber count from 80.
Hold up. I just scrolled back to the bottom. How did I not see this? You did a video called "This One Thing Helped Me Sell More Shoes," and there's some dealing with Dalton Shoe Trees in the thumbnail.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, I've been promoting you for a long time.
Hold up, I gotta share this after we get off here. I gotta share this.
This is how Dalton treats people that use.
Oh, Ethan, get out of here!
Does not share it. Can't believe this guy. Anyways. Tim, I know you probably a little bit better than Dalton does because I've talked to you in the group for probably a couple weeks now. What do you think about just talking quickly about what your reselling life is versus your 9-to-5 job?
Yeah. I can give you a background from my 9-to-5 to my reselling and where I'm at with what I'm doing. So my 9-to-5, I work for a software company. I am basically a training author. I write the web instruction and instructor-led instruction. Create everything from the content to the graphics, videos, anything that we have. So I've been with that company for 13 years, and have enjoyed it. I've always sold on eBay. My first eBay sale was back when I was in high school. Picked up a pair of cross-country skis for $2, and I didn't know what I was doing, threw them up on eBay, and of course, it's all auctioned back then, before Buy It Now, and sold them for $67, and I was like, hey, with that type of flip, that's something I definitely have interest in. So over the years, I've kept up with that, and have sold some random stuff here and there on eBay, but really haven't got really fully focused into it until the past couple of years. Back in 2022, I did a lot of going to yard sales and the Amazon bin store and flea markets and things like that, and just picking up random stuff. And that's when I really focused on Ethan and Dalton, on both of y'all, to kind of see, you know, really shoes and how to focus in on kind of shoes and how that looked. And especially after having a few glass items break in shipping, I was like, I've got to find something that's easier to ship. So I kind of shipped over a little bit into shoes. And then at the beginning of 2023, I really focused mainly on shoes and wanted to really make it more of a business than a hobby. I've always been a entrepreneur and had side jobs. I did Amazon affiliate marketing back in 2008. I started doing a little bit of that. And when I was kind of going back to school, reviewing books and things like that. So I've always had some side businesses, but I lost one of my main clients. I created some content and did some web development for at the end of 2022. So around 2023, I was like, hey, I've got to find something that can really sustain, you know, $750,000 a month to help support. As you know, the prices of living has greatly increased. And so trying to figure out a way, hey, how can I support my family to supplement my full-time job? And so that's when I kind of focused and honed in right on shoes and been selling shoes. Did very well last year. So a little over 500 pairs. So not a ton. Like I said, it is on the side, but hoping to grow that this upcoming year, especially with the Sweat Equity Group.
So Dalton apparently is not talking in this one.
Hey, I'm soaking it in. I'm really just waiting for the rambling because this has all been serious talk and we're only 9 minutes in. And as Timothy knows, I got to get warmed up a little bit.
If you want to warm up, more than welcome to warm up. I feel like people just need to know Tim. They know us. Yeah. And I feel like they need to know Tim for who Tim is. And we know Tim because he's been in our Discord group for a long time. But a lot of people don't know Tim that watch podcasts. And I feel like this just needs to, there needs to be an introduction. Then there can be rambling, right? I feel like that's fair. I also think that Tim's background is the coolest background because he can change it with his voice. I have learned it's pretty cool.
Yes. Yeah, I can. Hey, Alexa. Hey, Alexa, turn map light to green.
Wow. Ethan, we got to step it up, dude.
Yeah, our setup suck. I have this wire in my thing now. He's got a whole map with green behind it. And correct me if I'm wrong, you have four kids on top of all this, correct?
I do. Hold on, I got to change it back to blue. I don't like green. Hey, Alexa, turn map white to blue. Yeah, so I've got, so I'm married. I've been married for 20 years. I have four kids. My oldest is a daughter, Michaela. She is 18. She graduated this past year. And then I've got three boys, Ethan, 16, Logan, 14, and Mason, 11.
All right, so you named a kid Ethan. Can you promise me if you have another kid that you're going to name it Dalton?
Yes, I will promise you that.
Love it.
That's not happening.
Hey, you never know.
Oh, I know.
He's like, maybe you do know. Maybe you do know.
I'm pretty sure he knows. I feel like at some point he probably knows that there's not another one happening. So that's a good problem. Maybe a dog or something. You should have bargained with like a dog or a cat or something like that.
I'm open to that. We'll see.
Okay.
The four kids are enough. I can't add too many more mouths to feed in my household.
That's great. It adds up. Even did you ever get that dog you were talking about? Speaking of dogs,
it's coming this Saturday. So next podcast, I will bring Nala into the podcast.
Nala, and
we might actually have a viral podcast for once.
We might. Timothy, you got some big shoes to fill because our last video that we uploaded last week was a 10 of 10. So I don't know if you're going to be able to beat that, but you got some big shoes.
Well, when you don't post for a month, there's a reason why it's 10 of 10 because there's nothing else out there that's worth anything.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. And I mean, we do the same exact thumbnail for every video. So people probably thought it was an old one, if we're being honest.
Probably.
Yeah. And well, you've had me on my seat for a month. I've been over here pounding Ethan. I was like, when is Dalton going to get back? I'm tired of not having anything to ramble about.
You know, the crazy thing is too, is that for a week and a half, he probably could have. He was back.
Yeah, not a week and a half. There was
a week.
My first week back, I could have done a podcast. And we did it. It just came out late.
Later than what people expected on a Friday, which is probably why it was a 10 of 10 because people expected it on a Wednesday.
Yeah. Or, you know, Timothy's probably right. It's probably just because we hadn't uploaded in a month.
That is true. But we're back and it's exciting that we're back.
We're back and it's exciting. So Timothy, you said that you sold 500 pairs of shoes last year, which is, you know, that's pretty good. That's over a pair of shoes a day. That's more than a lot of people probably sell. How much do you want to sell this year, and how are you going to get there?
Great question. So this year, you know, I'm really trying to figure out where I'm going to grow and how I'm going to go about that. And, you know, ideally, I was like, let me do a number, because my take home, I guess, after fees and everything was just over $20, about $21 is a pair, which I'm very happy with. So, you know, ideally, I really, you know, the number is 650 is the number of pairs. But ideally, I'd love to have my what I actually take home versus what I invest in my business. Oh, my light just went out. Hold on a second. There we go. And what I invest in my business, I really want to double that. So what I take home, I'd love. I mean, right now I'm taking out $750 a month to help support what I'm doing. I'd love to see that hit $1,500 before the end of the year to do that. So those are big shoes to kind of, no pun intended, to fill. But what I'd like to do is narrow down a few things. Number one, source better inventory. I've sourced some trash of inventory. I've bought some, done some bulk buys, and I've still got some stuff from those things that people have cleaned out. Not to mention who I've bought those bulk buys from. But I don't know if you remember that, do you, Dalton?
Yeah,
you remember, I do. Me picking up that. those were not, that's not what I'm referring to as far as trash. There's a, I've had some other things. Those actually sold very well, and actually they met the expectations that you gave me. So, yeah, definitely going to source better. The other things I'm going to do in addition to sourcing better is probably try to work on my scheduling when I actually do my listings and work on time. Right now, you know, I'm filling in time. So I kind of get on my phone when I'm watching TV or if I'm waiting for a kid at whatever they may be doing, I'm picking them up. I try to create lists and stuff like that. And it gets very messy. And I really want to have dedicated time and dedicated focus on when I'm actually going to be listing. So I've been creating a documenting spreadsheet of actually timing everything I'm doing. Every time I clean shoes, create photos, listings, shipping. All those things, I figure out how it is to be real with how much it's taken me. And, you know, when I'm realizing that it's taking me 6 to 8 minutes to create a listing, it's like, okay, why is that? Because ultimately, you know, time is money. And so I'm trying to figure out how can I, you know, reap more benefits over time that I'm actually putting into it. Since I am doing this on the side, I do have very limited time. So with that, I found that, hey, my listing time is taking a long time. What can I do? So, you know, the way I've been going into Terapeak and finding the exact shoe with the exact, you know, item specifics and things like that. And I'm realizing it's taken a lot of time to actually find what I want to do sell similar from. So I really want to kind of focus less on being exact and perfect and try to churn more of these listings out in a quicker amount of time. So, by doing that, I can schedule these, segments of blocks of time in which I actually am creating listings and doing all my other things, as opposed to just trying to squeeze in, you know, every 5 minutes I have doing stuff. And essentially what that'll do, allow me to be more consistent because I sold, you know, one to two a day. But I think if I got inconsistency with all the way I'm doing things and build that schedule, that time, it allow me to then return, have, more listings out there and hopefully get more sales in what I'm doing with that.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Ethan, you look like you're about to say something.
I just, that's more reselling talk than we've done in the last like three episodes.
Yeah, I know that was heavy. That was super heavy.
Timothy's here. Here for. Get you right on your right on point.
I'm on the podcast, so we're going to make the podcast exactly what I've wanted for these past 38 episodes.
Tim is controlling the podcast today of just exactly what he's wanted for the last 30 episodes.
So you said your biggest struggle was the 6 to 8 minute listing time. What's it at now? I'm curious.
What is my listing? That is what my listing. I mean, I literally am still evaluating where I'm at, and it's currently 6 to 8 minutes. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I haven't implemented what I'm just. I'm starting to implement what I have, but I haven't got enough data to tell you where I'm down to.
Gotcha. Because I think that the, if we talk about that for a second, that we can, you know, we can talk reselling and we can help somebody out, because I feel like 6 to 8 minutes is probably pretty spot on with the time it takes 90% of people to list on eBay. I know it used to take me 9 to 8 minutes, or 6 to 8 minutes, but what are the things that you're implementing to make it go a little quicker?
First of all, I'm batching things. I'm not taking pictures of two pairs of shoes and then listing two pairs of shoes and then, you know, calling it for my listing a day. Because I really like to go between 2 and 3 pairs of shoes. I want to increase that, but I'm limited on time. So batching is the one thing I do. Instead of just cleaning in my 15 minutes of spare time, I'm like, hey, I'm going to clean 10 pairs of shoes. This will get me through 5 days of listings or whatever it may be. And actually, blocking out that time to do those in batches with cleaning and photographing. And then creating listings, it takes a little longer, so I can't quite batch it in those larger segments. But at least the cleaning and the photos has significantly increased by doing those batching processes.
I think batching took a while for me, especially when I started, to get used to, because I wanted to like, okay, I'm going to clean it, I'm going to take photos of it, and then I'm going to list it. And that process can be sped up massively if you just batch out cleaning a whole bunch and list or taking pictures of a whole bunch and then doing listing a whole bunch, because you're doing the same exact thing over and over and over, which will just naturally just speed up your time rather than trying to do a couple things at different times as well.
I'm not trying to brag or anything, but I've just been an expert from day one. You know, I've always, you know, taken my photos and then listed throughout the week.
You're also so humble, Mr. Dalton.
Oh, goodness. So
humble. Some of us do not nearly possess your immortal reselling ability.
I'm clipping that. That's my next social media post. Timothy, how many hours do you work for your main job?
45.
Okay. So what's like the... like best case, say reselling goes exactly how you want it to. Do you want to like, or if you are even able to lower the amount of time you're working at your day job and focus more on reselling, or you just solely want reselling to be a side income?
That's a great question. Right now I want reselling to be my side income, because as you know, with corporate America, they create a culture that makes it very comfortable for you to be in, just collect a paycheck. I mean, I put in my work. I don't just sit here and collect a paycheck. But essentially, I show up, I do what they've asked me to do, and I'm going to get paid. And so that comfort and that security is what has kept me here and what kind of puts me at, you know, not wanting to fully go into reselling. However, with that said, I know the potentials of reselling and what can be done. But making that switch is a challenging and kind of a scary thought, especially when you have a family of 6 people that you're supporting, you can, and my wife doesn't work. My wife stays at home. I didn't add that part. So my wife stays at home. And so, when you're the main income, it kind of, makes you really think, okay, how do you want to manage that? Do you really want to step away and put that stress on your family? And right now I'm not at that point. You know, something I would be open to, but not something that I'm currently pursuing.
That's the most mature answer we've had on the podcast in 37 episodes.
That's true. Because you know me and Ethan don't bring the mature answers.
Yeah, we're just like, yeah, whatever happens, fairies, butterflies, doesn't matter. Just great, let's do it. And I'm like, nope, I've got a family of 6. Can't do that. Excited. Nope. I'm like, okay. Need to reevaluate how I view the world, apparently. Not all sunshine and rain.
We can all go back and go out and buy brand new trucks.
Hey, now.
Okay, I was getting ready to bring this up. Timothy, have you seen the vehicle that Ethan bought?
No, I haven't even heard about it. I mean, last episode, it was like, hey, it's coming, but I haven't heard anything about it.
Ethan, don't even say nothing. I'm going to drop the bomb. I want your initial reaction. Timothy, you listened to the last episode, correct?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Ethan purchased a car since the last episode was released. He bought an EV.
Okay.
He bought a 2023 Ford Mustang.
What?
See?
No. That is... No. No, 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 no. But how's that going to help your reselling business? How many shares of shoes can you get in that?
Oh, it's an SUV.
It's an SUV.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Dalton didn't describe that, so now it looks worse. No, I did not go out and buy a brand new Mustang Lowrider. No, I bought an SUV. It's electric SUV.
Well, the new Mustangs, okay, if people are listening, they probably have this idea of what a Mustang looks like. So the new Mustangs are SUVs, and they're completely electric. So at least he got an SUV. Like, that's good. I'm happy for the guy. He likes the car. He loves it. It was just so left field from last episode.
It's bigger backspace than my vehicle. I don't drive a ton. So having the EV I don't tank on gas. Yeah. And the cost of me filling it up is like $2. So
filling it up? They still take gas.
Plugging it in.
Okay, charging it. I gotcha. Yeah. I gotcha.
Whatever. I'm still used to the whole gas thing.
Yeah.
I talked to a bunch of people about it over this weekend.
Not me.
You two are the only people that have had reactions about it.
Because you mean hard person. Listen, Timothy and I are the only mature people that your friends
are. That's not true.
Yes. Yes. And we own the mature vehicles that we have. Because I have, I'm a Honda guy. I've been a Honda guy since I was 15.
Okay, what do you drive?
Toyota Honda. I drive Honda Pilot.
Nah, okay, I can get behind that. I like Hondas. I've seen some of them Hondas on the road, and they're pretty clean.
And then when you become family man and add a few kids, you can go with the Honda Odyssey. Because that's what my wife drives.
Yeah, nice.
I enjoy my new car.
I can't wait till I become a minivan guy.
Yeah, that's never going to be me. You will never own a minivan ever. We have discussed this on this podcast with Eric. Eric agrees with me that he does not see me in a minivan ever. I don't want to be seen in one. I will walk to the destination if somebody tries to pick me up in a minivan.
Oh,
it's
Ethan.
It's perfect for soccer dads.
I can do it in my EV Mustang. Look, real cool pulling up the soccer.
I can't wait for it. All right, so circling back, we don't need to ramble about cars again for 30 minutes.
This is a rambling podcast. What's wrong with that? We talked about recycling for the first 20 minutes.
Listen, Timothy's here. I want him to talk about recycling.
Okay, fine.
I mean, we're just going to switch it up, you know, because Timothy wants us to get to the point. So if we get to the point in this episode, then we can ramble the back half.
Okay, understood.
That works.
One more question that I got for you, Timothy. I'm just getting a feel for you. So now that we know that you mainly think that you want reselling to be a side income for now, at least, are you listing like three things a day now?
Two to three a day.
Do you want that to increase, or you just want to get really good at two to three?
Oh no, I love for that to increase. And the reason why that hasn't increased is because of sourcing. Sourcing is another pain point.
That's what I was gonna ask. Where are you located?
I'm located in right outside of Charlotte.
Okay.
Horrible. Horrible thrifting.
And I'm assuming you, is your day job, is it like a 9 to 5 Monday through Friday thing?
It's a day job. Yep. 9 to 5. Yep.
And I'm assuming weekends, you kind of got to spend it with the kids, right?
That's it. That's why you get them involved.
Yeah.
Take them thrifting.
Ah, there you go.
Yes.
So, Ethan, you're in the ballpark. You used to live around that area.
Oh, yes. We've discussed this. I've given him the greatest flea market that is not known to the internet. And
Have you checked it out, Timothy?
No, because it's not. Like 5 hours away from him. So
do you think that your kids would enjoy, you know, waking up early on a Saturday and go and do that?
They might. They might. They're big into yard sales. So we wake up and go to yard sales on Saturdays.
It's a glorified yard sale. Just say, hey, we're getting up. We'll make it a trip, and you can go to a whole bunch of them.
Is it near a city?
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, you could take them to the flea market, and then pop into the city, do something fun for the kids, road trip back home. I think we're onto something here.
In your home,
this will get you to 5 listings a day.
Yeah, get those listings up. I think it's the sourcing part. And I found a new, trying to find cleaner shoes to buy. And so doing a little bit of retail arbitrage, found a few new locations to do some of that. And so I've got too late, probably now by the time this podcast comes out, or maybe not. But, you know, Kohl's is having a good 50% off a clearance sale right now. And so I just went through and cleaned out my Kohl's, at least with what I had for inventory money. And So there's some kind of venturing out when I can't really find things in the thrift because our thrift stores are not high volume thrifts. And so I'm kind of trying to see what are other opportunities are out there. And one thing I am learning about is trying to venture out of my area. Within, you know, I did a little research, and I usually stay within an hour of where I live. But when you break out into more of the 3 to 4 hour range, I have over 950 thrift stores that have potential.
Sounds like we got the answer right in front of us.
Time to drive.
Time to get in that Honda. I think Ethan, I've been giving you a hard time for a while off camera about bringing on a guest, and I think you picked a pretty dang good one.
Thank you.
I just feel like a lot of people are going to, you know, get something out of this because most people are in the same shoes as Timothy, where it's hard to source, and we're figuring it out. Somebody's going to learn that they can drive 3 hours on a Saturday morning with their kids and go to a flea market. And hopefully that's Timothy.
And hopefully Timothy says, thank you, Ethan, for giving me a connection. For the shoe person, the lady
Ethan just really needs his flowers.
I need validation for this flea market that it still works. That's what I need validation for. I don't need validation that it exists because I know it does. I just need a validation that she's still there and still selling ridiculously good stuff for cheap.
So, Ethan, we need to just leave at like 11 p.m. one night on a Friday night and just drive up there.
Can we not just fly? It's like $30 to fly from here.
How are we going to get all the shoes back?
We'll ship it back. My best friend lives 6 minutes away from that flea market. We'll ship it back.
All right. They better be cheap shoes.
That's fine. We'll deal with it when that happens, okay? I don't want to drive.
Okay. I just wanted to spend some more bonding time in the car with you.
We have bonding time while we're flying. We're frequent flyers. Yeah. You're frequently flying in the air together. Frequent flyers.
Anyway, Timothy, what else you got? You said you were in the SEG. I didn't know about this. How's that going? You want to talk about that? Are we allowed to talk about that? I don't know.
We are allowed to talk about it. I will preface this and then Timothy talk about it.
Okay.
There was an introduction. It's like this sounds like the freaking Avengers. There was an introduction of 7 people. No, there was an introduction of like 30 people to the SEG. And Tim was one of them. Tim was actually, it was kind of like the post that was made was share a little bit about yourself, show whatever. And all of the eBay partners agreed that Tim was a necessary requirement. So I will add that. You are a necessary requirement to the first 30. Now, Tim is currently in there bawling out on questions. But I think that there is a lot of information in there. Okay, now you can go.
So, yeah, so the Sweat Equity Group, which is amazing. As Ethan said, Ethan's a partner and just a participant. I'm there to ask more questions than most people, but it's really cool. Great place for resources and things like that. I've been following Renzi or Ryan for quite some time, and I know that's something that I actually tried to get into that original the Sweat Equity group, the original thing that he had going, but I didn't get into on that. But this is something that has been very helpful. To kind of talk out my business and kind of talk out where I'd like to go. And there's a range of people that are in there. There's moms with kids doing this on the side. There's people that have full-time jobs. There's people that's got it as their full-time job. And so there's people that are retired that are in there. So there's a lot of diversity with people that are doing this. And it's just a free place that's a no judgment zone to ask questions. Get tons of answers. There's tons of resources in there. And especially depending on what you have interest in, it's not just reselling in general. It's, hey, this is an area on eBay, and this is an area on Poshmark, and this is an area on whatnot. And so whatever your area that you have interest in, you can really connect to experts in the field, such as Ethan, that's there, being able to connect with him and ask questions. And so it's been really cool. I've learned a lot. I've changed some things, like the whole idea around actually timing myself on my task that I'm doing came from that, was to, hey, how much time is it really taking you and where can you cut back on those times? So little things like that, how I can tweak my business and improvement has what I've gained from that so far.
I can't believe I just called an expert. Sorry.
I'm just going to gloss right past that. Can we not talk about that?
That was crazy.
I don't know what kind of advice they're given towards cutting back on tasks, but my go-to is outsource it to your wife if that's an option.
Especially after the story that I saw yesterday from Carly, where she was like, oh, look, Dalton decided to just drop stuff on me and leave. That was special.
Listen, I had softball practice. I was sourcing at Academy all day. I didn't just drop things on her and leave. You know, I was
what
working.
It looked like, she had a whole bunch of shoes in the garage and you were nowhere to be found. That's what it looked like.
Hey, listen, she loves it because she has some time where she's not near me. She gets some alone time.
I'm sure that that's great for a lot of people. Okay, so to further his point about the SCG, currently right now, there's 30-ish people in it. I cannot divulge the information on when it will be released to the public, but it will be split into two versions of it. So there's the free version, and then there's the paid version. Free version is there's basically going to be like this big chat function that you can ask a bunch of questions, and it'll get answered, and then the paid version will be what we're helping Tim with, basically, is trying to help his business in whatever aspects that he's asking for, more specific answers, not just generic answers. In the free version, it'll be more specific answers. And there's calls, like I'm running a call today at 3 o'clock, talking about all things eBay. And then I also have a call going over my spreadsheet and helping understand people understand what the spreadsheet, why the spreadsheet, stuff like that. So there's a lot of things that are going to be in the paid version, that Tim is currently a test dummy. Doesn't sound like a right word.
Tim's a test dummy.
Tim is a test genius.
Subject.
In this. So we're trying to figure out the ins and outs of it. So I'm glad to hear that you're enjoying it so far, or what you're saying you're enjoying, a wink, wink, hint, hint, or if you're not, but I think it's really good. I think it's, from what we are able to show and teach people, I think it's a good resource for people, for sure.
Well, if Ethan is a teacher, coach, whatever, in it, and you're listening to this, I'd get right up there for the waiting list and get on in, because if they got people like Ethan, it's the place to be.
That's very kind. That's like the kindest thing you've said like all 2024 to me. So.
I know. I feel like I crap on you all the time. I just need people to listen and know that
car,
I'm just kidding.
The one thing I've been excited about this weekend to be like, oh, I'm going to tell Dalton that I'm not getting a Bronco. I'm not going to disappoint him. First thing I told him, got a Mustang. Are you kidding me?
Listen, yes, that was my reaction, but I promise you, whenever I see it and I get in it, I'm probably going to be jealous.
It's a gorgeous car.
I'm sure it is.
I love it.
You know, it doesn't change what we talked about last week and how you just went completely left field and bought a Mustang.
American made,
baby.
Ford.
All right, Timothy. Have we talked? Did you have any more reselling things you wanted to get off your chest, or have we talked shop enough?
I've got one more topic.
Lay it on me.
Let's talk about Flip. So Flip, you're going to love this. Hey, yeah, it's paid. They just announced it that they're switching to paid at the beginning of March to $9 a month for Flip. And that is what I used across list. Because somebody introduced it to me way back when, and that's what I've always used to cross list between eBay and Poshmark, and now they're going to paid. I'm like, I've got to find something that's actually worth the value of it, because Flip is not it. What
that's
might that be?
Comes in.
Okay, can you say that sentence again? I didn't. You need to find the value in what? Because
so Flip is great for a free product, but I don't think it's worth paying money for.
Okay.
So if I'm going to pay a subscription, I want to find something that gives me more functionality than Flip gives me.
Gotcha.
He's rolling the ball for us to talk about Vendu. That's basically what he's done there by accident. So
yeah, I was picking up on that, but I didn't want to like sound too sales pitchy. So if that's what you want to talk about, we can hop into Vendu.
You can definitely hop into Vindu because whatever other people are talking about, not.
I'm pulling up Vindu's website because I want to see their pricing because you're listing. Are you listing two things a day or three things a day?
I can do the math on this. So he's listing three things every 30 days. He's listing less than 100 things.
Yeah.
Right. I need that $19.99 tier though.
Yeah, $19.99.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the value is there, but you know, I don't need to shill it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess the thing with Vindu that I didn't realize is I was like, oh yeah, you know, $20 a month, I can do that. And then I'm like, add-ons? What do you mean add-ons? I got an add-on for marketplaces and importing and relisting and
I'm gonna be honest with you. I wish that they would simplify their pricing. That's the one thing that I dislike about it. But you know, I feel like the value's there, man. I haven't had to delist anything in so long because it delists from Mercari and Poshmark. That used to be my biggest thing is I'd double sell stuff all the time because I'd only delist on eBay because it's the only one that penalizes you. And so I'd double sell thing on Poshmark and Mercari, and I haven't done that in forever just because, you know, Vindu's that guy.
How do you do it when you already have offers sent out on Poshmark?
See, that's still a problem.
So what I will say with it as well is it will give you a notification when that happens.
Yeah.
So it'll give you a little blue dot in the corner. So if you're on the Vindu app or the Vindu website, it'll give you like a blue dot in the corner where it says sold. And it'll say this sold on Poshmark. However, there is an error and Poshmark could not be deleted because there's active offers. So then you just click the button and then it sends you to Poshmark and you can manually delete it there.
Yeah. And it's nice because you can also, even if you miss that or you get kind of backed up on checking that, you can sort it by things that are sold but still listed. So you can just like hit a drop down box and says sort by sold but still listed. And then you can just go through and make sure that everything that's been sold, you can delist it off the platforms that it didn't get delisted.
It's so good.
So good.
Yeah.
With the add-ons, it's what, $30 a month? 20 plus, is it 12? 10?
It's 12. It's 12 for the bundle. But do I need all marketplaces? That's the thing. No. There's so much. Because I'm only doing Poshmark.
Yeah, you only need Poshmark. I wouldn't get all marketplaces.
Oh yeah, so the free, or if you don't have the bundle, you can do three marketplaces per item. So yeah, that's plenty.
You wouldn't need more than that.
So you'd need bulk delist and
importing.
Delist. Yeah,
you need importing.
You need importing, and the bulk delist and relist. I don't even think I really use it. Do you, Ethan?
I delist and relist on Vindu, but
eBay.
I do it, but that's just because I have the unlimited version. So
yeah. Anyway, I mean, I think the importing is enough to start with. So $25 a month, that's one sale.
And then it's one sale pays for itself. And then you don't have to have your company data mined from you. We won't get it.
Exactly. Like
those free companies got to make money somehow.
Got to make some money.
That's right.
They're taking your information. Who knows?
Yeah, the other sticking point with switching over is I got to move all that, import it all in there. But then, of course, it's already cross-listed, so now I've got to go in and actually link it, which, from what I understand, it's a manual process of copying the links over. So
it sucks.
I haven't been cross-listing for the past 2 weeks because of that.
Okay.
I'm just preparing myself to switch to Vindu, so I've just kind of bailed on a flip. I'm going to Vindu. I'm 99% confident. I just hadn't pulled the trigger because, you know, it is, you know, $25 or $30 extra a month, you know, and it doesn't seem like a lot, but at the same time, when, you know, that's a chunk of change if you're only, you know, bringing in I say only bringing in $1,000. That's a lot, but still, you know, it's like, I don't want to spend extra, but you got to spend money to make money sometimes.
Yeah,
especially when it's the best company and you're not getting data mined where they're just taking all your information and putting it up.
That's right.
Oh, goodness.
That's why I never went to Flip.
So whenever you sign up for it, make sure to use the link in the show's description.
And then while you're manually importing, listen to the show that you're on. And then you can listen to how great I shared while I'm talking about the thing that I'm doing currently, which is manually importing on Vindu. Right. Perfect.
Yes.
Right.
Perfect. All right. So we got the reselling talk out of the way. I'm giving you your last chance, Timothy. Any more topics?
I don't have any more topics. No.
Okay. I'm good. All right. Outside of reselling, what do you do? What are you into? What do you like? What just talk to me about your hobbies or something. We got reselling. Yeah. All right. So all your free time goes to reselling.
And my kids.
Okay. All right. This is tough.
It's not helping you.
I got a question.
Okay.
What's your favorite vacation you've ever been to?
I don't know if I have a favorite, but
you have to have a favorite. There's got to be a favorite.
My favorites are coming down and visiting your area and going to either SeaWorld and Busch Gardens. That's our last trip. Last summer, we went down to SeaWorld in Orlando and then hit up Busch Gardens. And then this fall, we're going to go down and go to Islands of Adventure and Universal. So those are probably my favorite vacations because, especially now that my kids are older and they can ride roller coasters, that's something that really I enjoy doing with them. And being able to ride with them and do that as a family is probably a highlight of all of my vacations I've ever done.
See, it's such a wholesome answer. I don't
such a wholesome think guy.
Anything like I hate. I love when my kids are not on vacation with me. I can't get that out of them. Like I love. It's like I love going with my wife to without my children. Like I was waiting for that answer, and then it was nope. I love just spending time with. Like we can't get anything that's not wholesome out of him. Wholesome or mature. It's like no. It's just love being with my family. I was just waiting for. Yep, it was. Time when I was in another country with my wife had nothing to do with my children. That's what I was.
What about you, Ethan?
My trip probably coming up in the summer will probably be my favorite trip.
How do you know? It hasn't happened yet. Something could go away. It could be the worst for
8 months.
I'm just kidding. I shouldn't say that.
I'm doing everything that I want to do there. It's my birthday week. So that's what makes it 10 times better. So yeah. It's not like it's a random trip. Sometime in the middle of the summer, like it's my birthday week and I'm going to hang out in Italy and Greece. It's going to be such a big problem for a week and you're going to have to do a podcast without me for a week.
We got a rich man over here. We'll be hanging out in Italy and Greece.
It's a cruise. So it's not so rich. No, but I'm super excited about it. I grew up loving to fly. Grew up with my family going to Hawaii a couple times when I'm growing up for a couple weeks out of the year. And I love flying. I love traveling. But yeah, this trip could be the pinnacle. Currently, it's Costa Rica. That's my favorite trip I've ever been on. But we will see come June. That answer may change very quickly.
We will see come
Yours
June.
Yours is a rural Kansas with all the rural corn. Kansas, I love me some corn.
That's I love me some Kansas.
You've never been out of the country, have you?
No. I'm just not made of money like you, you know?
Shut up. You took an entire month off and you didn't have to work.
Yeah, whatever you say. If that's what it seems like.
I mean, that's exactly what it seemed like, is you were gone from February 1st until 7 days ago. 20 days.
20 days, yeah. It's all right. 3 weeks. It was an expensive 3 weeks, let me tell you.
So you're just not going to answer your favorite vacation?
Oh, of course. My favorite vacation was the vacation I just got back from. How could it not be?
That was a good answer.
That's it. That's a great answer.
Carly's got a pew-pew to your head
right now. Yeah, she's right there. She's like, if you don't answer this correctly, you're done.
You have 3 seconds to answer.
So Timothy, you said that you did like web development for people. Was that on the side or is that through work?
That's on the side. Yeah, okay. That's a side hobby.
So is that something that you like actively pursue or is that just like, you know, if it comes?
If it comes, it comes. It's something I actively pursue because it takes a lot of work and to stay up with the technology and all that does take a bit. And I just do it on the side for fun. I have a few websites myself. I do a little bit of affiliate marketing. I have a website for that that I used to post reviews on. But reselling has kind of overtaken those interest areas. But I do have a couple of clients that I build or maintain their websites on the side.
Okay. Have you seen my website?
Yes.
Would you fix anything about it?
Would I?
Okay. Fix is a bad word. Would you change anything about it?
Well, I mean,
he's like, it's terrible. You need to start over.
I'm trying to be kind. It sucks.
Okay, I went there to go buy some shoe trees. That's the only reason I've ever been there. But it's just, yeah. I mean, for one, you've built it on Shopify, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so it's not very. Yeah, you're just there just to have a marketplace, and that's it. It's not very engaging. I mean, it works.
Yeah.
If you're just sitting there for shoe trees, okay, there's that. You get your pop up if you want a discount or subscribe or whatever it may be, and. Outside of that, yeah, it needs some help.
So talk to me. What would you do? Maybe I might become a client, Timothy. Sell me. Come on.
Interesting enough, there's another reseller that I may have actually built a website for.
Okay. Who's that?
That is Eric with is it Red Mountain Red Mountain Shoes? Is that right?
Yeah, that's his website. Red Mountain Shoes.
It's a Red Mountain. I don't know what the
Shoe Co.
Red Mountain Shoe Co. Okay, while I'm trying to, is the website still up? Because I don't know. Does he still?
I don't know if it's still up. It's been about a year since I put that together for him.
Okay. I'm not saying it on Google, but anyway, what would you do differently?
Let's see what I would do differently. Probably, Well, you gotta determine what your first. You gotta determine what your purpose is for your website. What do you want?
I'll tell you this. I'll preface. One of the things that is on my plate, but it's taking up a very small portion of my plate. I think I should add a little, I think it should take up more of my plate, but is focusing on putting together an email list and providing value through an email list. And obviously, you know, upselling through that email list, but you know, I don't really have the website doesn't really draw into that. So say if I wanted the main purpose of my website is to get people to sign up for my email list, what would you do?
Well, that should be your priority. That should be your main call to action on your page. So instead of it just being linked to click a shoes, if someone comes to your site and sees shoe trees and that's all they see in the first fold, well, I call it a fold, but the first area before you even scroll, then they're probably going to just click right off and move on. The newsletter is at the very bottom, and that doesn't help. People don't even scroll that far. And so they're not even going to sign up. You really want that call to action at the very top to be, hey, sign up for this newsletter. And to be honest with you, you actually, people don't just randomly give you emails just for the fun of it. You need to do, your free gift or your, so what you have on that next page for reselling, the ultimate step-by-step guide, that should be on your main page. Give them give them something that they're going to get in return for that email address. And so once you have that, then that gets them in. You give them a free resource. Now you can start pushing your shoe trees or your top selling shoe brand products to go from there.
I agree.
It's called a lead magnet, which I'm sure y'all are aware of. But for those that are listening, if you're not familiar, you're creating a lead magnet that you're trading something for. People are willing to give out their email address, but just to randomly stick it in a input box, they're not going to do that. Without getting something in return.
Yeah, I agree. I've been meaning to make the that freebie. That's the reason I created it, was eventually to be a pop up on the website, but I haven't put enough time into figuring out how the back end of that works. So that's why it's just a 15% off coupon code now.
Yeah, and that works. That drives people from your for sales for shoe trees.
Yeah,
that works. I mean, ultimately, if the main thing you're focusing is shoe trees, okay. But it also depends on how people are coming to your site. If you want people to find you on Google by searching something other than dealing with Dalton, then you need to have some more content on there that's going to draw in that traffic.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to use your social media presence and you just have them go straight to dealing with Dalton, then I think that works. But you got to have them do something once they get there.
Yeah, that's Timothy. You're spot on. You know what you're talking about. Because that's another thing. I need to make an article of like how to clean shoes, how to ship shoes, stuff that'll like pop up on Google instead of like the same reason that, you know, people search for that on YouTube, people search for it on Google too. And if, you know, my website pops up, that'll be nice for me.
It is. And that's the fun part when you get into building websites is the whole SEO aspect. Mm-hmm. Using Google Analytics and studying, okay, where is all my traffic coming from? What drove that traffic? Was it keywords? Was it a referral source? And then you can get into so much into that, actually start to look at who your target audience is, you know, because you can see, you know, basically where people are from, their demographics and all that type of stuff. And it's very fascinating to study and to look at once you get a good bit of traffic coming into your site.
Yeah. And is this the kind of stuff you do at your day job?
No, it's not what I do at all at my day job.
No. See, day job talk is like foreign to me. I don't know what any people can tell me their job titles and it's just like right over my head. So what do you do at your day job?
So I'm an author at my day job.
An author.
And yeah, so well, author is probably not the right term. Technical author. So I actually create a training material. So we have a curriculum team that develops a curriculum for how people can use our software. And basically, how do you go about doing that? Well, they can either learn on their own with what we call web courses. So going online and taking a web course, taking something like you may have heard the term MOOC or a massively open online course. That type of thing allows a lot of people to come in and learn about the software. So those types of things are things that I work on. It may be creating. So basically, I take the curriculum, what they've given me. Hey, this is the topic you need to write on. I then take that and break it into lessons and start to create lessons based on what we call learning objectives. I'm getting way over your head, but creating learning objectives and going about how to develop the written content and then the graphic content and videos that may be necessary to actually develop that so that our customers can actually take those courses and actually learn from them to use the software.
That's pretty cool.
That's so cool.
Ethan, I feel like I interrupted you. You were about to say something before I asked about his day job.
I was just saying Tim's much smarter than both of us.
Yeah, clearly.
I did stuff like for my degree with SEO, and I'm decent at it. Like if you looked up my TCR shoes thing, my SEO is higher than even Puma's TCR logo or their one of their things. If you look up TCR shoes, mine pops up first. So I think that SEO is just, I think the coolest thing about it is just like the more effort you put into it, the better output you'll get. So
yeah. Cool. And it's something that you always have to be monitoring and developing because the algorithms change. And so that's the challenge. You can't just set it and forget it.
Yeah. It's a fun little thing. And I've been out of it for a year and a half. And I did like another course to just like re-up on all my certificates, even though I don't need to. I just did it. And I was like, whoa, stuff has changed in a year. Like, it's crazy how quickly stuff changes and how important other things become as quickly as they need to be. And it's a whole different ballgame. Looking at Google from basically the backside of things is like mind-boggling at times because it's like, oh my gosh, like all of this goes into what like one individual search goes into, and there's billions of searches a day. It's crazy.
So speaking of SEO, Timothy, did you see like what kind of success did you see with the affiliate marketing through Amazon? Because I'm assuming you were like writing blog posts that did you say you were reviewing things?
Yeah, so I got into SEO back in 2008 when I was going back to school. Mm-hmm. And essentially what I was learning in the classroom, I was writing about it and actually creating videos and things like that. What I found, it was very, I'll say lucrative, until Amazon started to crack down on who could actually be an affiliate. because the state of North Carolina at the time, the whole sales tax, there was an issue with sales tax, because people weren't paying sales tax on the purchases that were being done online. And so they actually blocked us for several years. And it wasn't until, you know, probably back in 2018, I got back into affiliate marketing and I started reviewing products. And it worked. It's worked very well. And it was, you know, make a few hundred bucks here and there, which was nice for what I'm doing for a side income, just to kind of support the extra family that I got. But the challenge that I have found is to be able to write content. I'm a perfectionist. And so my content, I mean, I want to have, 2,500 words, and I want to have tons of images, and I don't want to just have it just random content. I actually want to provide value and reviewing products. And so that did that for a while and has worked well, but it's created some challenges because of the time it requires. And I'm learning that I can only put so much into certain time. And so I recently actually found the Amazon Influencer program, and have actually got accepted into that and been creating videos to do on-site affiliate marketing. And so that's where my interest has kind of been, is where I've been putting my time, and I'm starting to find success. It's not something I'm going to replace my full-time job with, because it's so it's up and down. What videos Amazon uses from one day to the next, it changes on a regular basis. But it's something to be able to create a 2-minute video reviewing a product or talking about a product, and being able to quickly post it on there, is something that I found to be easy and to provide value, and to get almost the same returns that as I was getting as actually writing these long articles.
Yeah, I've noticed, or I've seen online, people making a ton of money doing the Amazon video reviews, the on-site reviews. Something I wish I had a little bit more time to tackle, but I keep spreading myself too thin.
Yeah.
How many videos have you made? Do you know? Roughly, ballpark?
About 45.
Oh, nice. And I really don't know. Is there like a dashboard that tells you like how many of them are performing well and how many of them were kind of like duds?
Yeah, absolutely. There's they've got the Amazon or the Creator Hub, I think it's called, where you can actually see your views of how many being viewed. I also have a plugin. I don't have it in front of me. I don't know what I think it's called IPX. Mm-hmm. That allows me to. It actually tells me which ones of my videos are actually being posted on the site. So there's the upper carousel and the lower carousel on there. And so if you're not familiar with Amazon, when you click on the product, it comes up to a product page, and you click on the image, and at the end of the images, there's this video. Normally it's a manufacturer video, but then there's additional videos that are review videos and influencer videos. So that's the upper carousel. And then lower carousel is down at the very bottom. After all the content, there's a whole slew of videos that you can kind of slide through and actually find and watch. So those types of things are interesting, because I can use that plugin and actually see what videos are actually Amazon actually has posted. You can see if it's in upper, if it's in lower, if it's in both. And that's to see what they have. And it also shows me how many videos are actually out there. So it's like, hey, this product only has 2 videos, and you are in the video, and you're one of the videos that's been selected. To kind of see that and then actually see how many views you're getting versus what products are actually selling, when you actually go into the associates dashboard, you can kind of put 2 and 2 of what's performing and what's working, and the products that you review, the price point, and also the style of videos. That's the one thing I'm experimenting with is you can do unboxing videos. You can say, hey, this is how I use the product. You can hold the product and say, hey, these are the features of the product. You can even go in and actually, some people just create videos as quickly as possible and throw them out there, but I find that doing additional helps. Go in and find what are the top questions being asked on their product pages, and then answer those questions in video, and you get more clicks. And of course, you don't make a profit or commission unless the person watches at least 30 seconds of the video. If the video is longer than 30 seconds, he's got to watch the he's got to watch at least 30 seconds. If it's less than 30 seconds, they've got to watch the entire video. So there's a lot of strategy of how you create the videos, what goes into the videos, and then analyzing, okay, what works best, and then duplicating that as rapidly as possible.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
Ethan, you want to start? Should we start reviewing stuff on Amazon?
No.
Why not?
Stop social media to stop social media. I'm not going to go to social media. I'm an influencer on Amazon. I'm good.
No, that's it. It's been something that I wish I had more time for. Carly's been thinking about doing it. She does the, I can't even think of what it's called. It's like print on demand, Amazon. She uploads designs, whatever it's called. And, you know, I think that the influencer, the video thing is a nice little avenue. So if somebody's listening to this and you're looking for an extra way to make some money, look into the Amazon review thing. It seems pretty lucrative.
You have to get accepted, right, though, Tim?
You do have to get accepted. That's the biggest challenge.
Was it hard?
Yeah. It was extremely hard. It took me about 4 months to get into it.
Oh, wow.
Now, I will say that is 4 months from I used a TikTok, TikTok account to get in, but I started 4 months of starting with zero followers on TikTok and then growing that account. And it's not something, you don't have to have like 10,000 followers. I did it and only had, I think, maybe 500 followers at the time. But it's more engagement. So you need to get people to like or to bookmark or comment on your posts. And then once you get that going, I created 3 videos every single day, and it was just random videos. It wasn't well thought out videos. It was like, this is me cleaning shoes, or, and this is, you know, these are, this is, you know, some shoes I just bought. It was just basically quick 60-second dirty videos. Not dirty videos, but, you know, quick and dirty videos. To be able to do that on a regular basis and build enough engagement. And then I went to the Amazon or Amazon influencer site and applied probably 2 to 3 times every single day. I just applied. And it'll say, your account does not meet the qualifications. Because a lot of that is done automatically with a computer to do that. And so once you finally get in, then you have to – that's just to get into the influencer program where you actually get a storefront and that type of thing. But to actually earn on-site commissions, which is the videos that are on the actual site itself, that is where you actually have to upload videos. You have to have three videos, and they have to be reviewed by a person. And if they meet their quality checks, then they will approve you for on-site. And that took me about 6 weeks to get approved on that. And so I don't know what goes into that. I've heard some people get approved in just a few days. Such an example, if you've seen Wyatt Sippy, y'all know him. He did a video on getting accepted, and he got accepted very quickly. But I also think it's because of the size of his accounts that gave him priority, and they kind of rushed his approval process. But for those that are starting out from scratch, just, you know, it's get on there and just be persistent and be patient, and eventually you'll get approved.
And you'll have to be growing a social media profile at the same time?
Yes, you have to grow. Yes, because you have to have the social media profile to get accepted. Mm-hmm. But then when they review your videos, they also are going to go back and actually look at your profile to see if you're actually still engaging. Mm-hmm. And so you need to kind of keep that active. I'm not posting as much on my TikTok account as I was, because I was, like I said, I was doing up to 3 videos a day. But now I'm, you know, maybe a video or two every week or so. You do have to have that, because at any point they could shut you down if they don't feel like you're influencing enough.
Gotcha. And you said that it doesn't really matter the following size. They just want to see engagement.
That's correct. Yeah. Like, so I said, whenever, I had about 500.
Yeah. So whenever you got approved, like, what was your engagement looking like? Were you getting how many comments, for example?
I was getting probably maybe, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 comments on a video.
Okay. Yeah. So it's hard, but it's not impossible if you're listening. So I think it'd be a fun little side income. If I was still in high school, I'd be all over this.
Yeah.
Cause I sucked at affiliate marketing back in the day. I gave my stab at it, and it didn't go so well. So Ethan, you got anything else you want to talk about? Where we are pulling up to the last stop.
I'd say we probably need to pull in the last stop. He does have a day job that he's supposed to be doing currently, and we are currently taking his time. So I feel like we need to pull in the last stop and let the man go back to work.
Okay, so Timothy, you got a bolo for us?
I do have a bolo.
Nice.
So I mentioned this a little bit to Ethan a little bit ago, a couple of days ago, but hockey ice skates.
Okay.
So not your traditional shoe, but something that is one that I kind of follow is the brand is CCM.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of varieties. There's some that are low, not worth anything. There's some that are worth a lot. But I recently picked up a pair of ice skates from a local consignment store, a children's consignment store. So if you're looking for a new place to thrift, look at the children consignment stores. But I picked up these ice skates for $12.50.
Okay.
And they were the CCM Tax 3092s. And I listed them high because there was no other sizes that were there. And I listed them at actually $199. And wow. I got an offer for $144. And I took it. And I sold them for $144. Now, there is a funny story to that. I actually shipped them out. The buyer received them. And once they received them, they actually opened a return because they said they found the pair that were cheaper somewhere else and they wanted to return them. So instead of just accepting the return, I messaged the buyer and said, hey, I'll give you a $35 refund if you'll be willing to accept it. And they actually accepted the $35 refund. So it took a little less, but $109 from a $12.50 purchase is, I'll do that every day.
I'm stubborn. I would have told him to return them. nice. I don't, I've looked up hockey skates or ice skates like every now and then when I see them, but I guess I've just never found a good pair. Ethan, have you ever sold them before?
Probably, but I probably didn't sell them for a bunch because they were probably ice skates, not hockey skates.
Gotcha. All right, Ethan, what you got for me?
I actually just sold it during the middle of this podcast. I didn't want to speak because Timothy was actually speaking about good things. I just sold a pair of SB Dunk highs for $110. These have been canceled 5 times on eBay. 5 times they have not been paid for. And I got an offer on Poshmark for $110 during the middle of the thing. I nearly had a mini excitement dance because they instantly accepted. So SB Dunks are very good. Last week I talked about the Christmas ones that I found. And those were a youth size and those sold for $350. So SB Dunks are better than the normal Dunks, I will say that.
Yeah. Nice. How do you tell the difference?
Thicker tongue.
Nice. I guess I can talk about my $300 sale. Mm-hmm. Ethan and I went to the flea market a couple weeks ago. We talked about it on the last podcast. It sucked, but we did find a pair of soccer cleats for $10. They were vintage Nikes. They were made in Italy. I didn't know Nike ever made shoes in Italy, but they were made in Italy. They were metal soccer spikes. We've talked about that on the podcast before. Metal spikes, Bolo. Nike vintage Bolo. I can't remember the model name of them, but soccer cleats, and they sold for $300.
Insane.
And I just sold some New Balance Fuel Cell Super Comps for $59.
Look at you, Swain.
Is that all?
That's all I got. I'm excited that Tim was here. That made
Timothy, thanks for taking the time out of your busy day for us. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome. I appreciate you having me. I appreciate you calling me out. You can continue to use me as a person that hates the podcast because you can't get to the point. But feel free to continue to call all the Timothys out because there's several of us out there. Not a lot of us are vocal as myself or maybe a few others, but y'all doing a great job. I appreciate what you're doing. You provided a lot of value to my reselling business and looking forward to the podcast ahead.
Well said. I appreciate that, Timothy. Ethan, take us home.
Okay, if you guys haven't commented already, that's what's lacking. I don't even care about the likes anymore. We get 0 comments now. So if you haven't commented at this point on YouTube, you need to. And you need to like, and you need to subscribe, because currently we are losing subscribers. because people think that Dalton and
We gained a couple.
We gained four. We gained four, and we lost 81 between – we were almost a 900, now we're 830.
No, you're misseeing things. We were never close to 900, I promise.
We were close to 900. I promise. Mm. I promise. One of the videos – I'm not going to
argue. It's too late in the show to argue. It's okay.
While you were gone, we were gaining. And then as soon as we came back, we lost a whole bunch. Anyways, please subscribe. Thank you guys for listening on Spotify and Apple Music. If you want to make a review for us so that way Dalton and I next week can look at those reviews, we will do that. And we will see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Peace.
See ya.